Back together with you, chatting it up Thursday, October 3rd, 2024 on Connecticut Today. I open the show with yet another report about the potentially dangerous situations at the U.S. northern and southern borders. CBS News reporter Chris Fox explained a major court case involving student hairstyles, while Only in Bridgeport blogger Lenny Grimaldi talked about the continuing Success Village controversy, as well as an update on the national election.
So as I like to often do here, why don't we start playing a little game, shall we? Yes, and let's play my favorite game of what if. Let's take a situation that we have now in our country presently today, and let's say, well, what if X, Y, and Z? Now, you may say, Paul, at 2:08 and 2 seconds here on a Thursday afternoon, well, what the heck is the X, Y, and Z? Well, let me ask you this. Supposing you turned on the news here on WICC and you were listening to either myself or Bridget or Lisa or Melissa or any of our nationally satellite-delivered programs at night over the weekend. And there was a story there that came from the federal government, right? And the story, in a sense, kind of paraphrasing, was, well, you know, we're trying. We're really trying with this airport security stuff since that little 9/11 thing happened 23 years ago, right? We're trying, and, you know, for the most part, we're getting it done. But, you know, because of the situation, fill in the blank to whatever situation you want to talk about. But because of the situation, well, we, some terrorists, people on the watch list, people on the terror list, they get through. But gosh darn it, we're trying. We really are. So don't be mad at us. Because gosh darn it, we're trying. Now, assuming you have a brain that has the requisite amount of oxygen flowing to and from it, and you're not snacking on paint chips, and you're not washing yourself in lead paint, you're probably going to say, what? What do you mean you're trying? I'm leaving to or from a major airport, or heading to or leaving from a major airport next week, or my kids are coming in, or whatever. I thought the TSA, the federal government, had this thing down. Of course, you would have every single right to be upset. Like I said, if you were a normal human being, no matter of what political stripe, of what gender, of what ethnic stripe, you would say, hey, wait a minute, this is unacceptable. I don't want to hear why you can't get this right. What you just told me is you're not getting it right. Well, kids, let's segue there from the game part of this, shall we? Let us segue from the game part of it to the reality part of it. Shall we do that? Let's do that. I can do that because it's my show. For as long as they'll have me here at Connoisseur, it's my show. I talk not, of course, of what's going on with the TSA, because generally the airports have been pretty safe. I mean, thank God. Nothing even remotely or even distantly representing 9/11 has happened since 9/11, 2001. I know a lot of people are like, well, it's because the government was beyond 9/11, was behind 9/11. Okay, go take your meds. Having said that, this is happening on the border. Oh, you're leading with the border again? Yes, I am. Because it is nuts. It is absolutely, it's some level of psychotic what I'm about to read you. Because, again, we'll do that after we take a quick break, but I wanted to start off with this. I've got numbers coming up here. And I know a lot of you people were upset the other day when I brought up the 700,000 or so either convicted criminal illegals or those pending serious charges. And, of course, we got a few calls there with the but Trump. I'm still trying to figure that out. But apparently, there's new numbers now. And these numbers are not getting made up. It's from Fox News. No, it's not. It's from the nation's Border Patrol people. They are warning us that they can't handle it because of the C word. It's a crisis. No, it's not a crisis. It's incompetence. It's a lack of balls to shut down the border and keep just about everybody out. I'll give you that coming up. Folks, I'm serious. 203-333-9422. If you thought you were mad the other day when I gave you the figure of somewhere between 600 or 700,000 either convicted or pending violent criminals walking our streets, many of which not being held by your government, wait till you hear this. We hear stories, though, often about court actions and court cases involving, believe it or not, hairstyles, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in a factory for safety, or whether it's in schools. And what does law say about that? Chris Fox joins us once again, CBS based in Austin, Texas, to talk about a federal court case, a pending case, about a student in Texas and hair. Hey, Chris, it's Paul here in Connecticut. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great. Better than, I guess, Daryl George. He's the 18-year-old high school student.
So what's going on here? Yeah, explain this to us.
Ironically, he's high school that he's fighting. He's asking a judge to help him return to classes. He's called Barbers Hill High School. The irony's not lost on him and his attorneys. He's been suspended. He was suspended all last year, his junior year, and he's suspended again this year. And what he's done is he's gone to federal court trying to argue that this originally their argument was it was a race-based discrimination and it was a violation of the state's new law called the Crown Act. Mm-hmm. And the Crown Act bans race-based hair discrimination. Now, back in August, this federal judge, Jeffrey Brown, ruled that his case didn't stand water, dismissed most of his claims, saying that it was not racial because it was the length of the hair, not the style of the hair. Now, what makes it even stranger is that if you've seen pictures of Daryl George online, his dreadlocks are neatly tied up, so it looks like he has very short hair.
Okay.
And one of the questions I asked his attorney just the other day, how do they know how long his hair was? And on the first day of school, his junior year, they called him to the principal's office, asked him to untie the locks. They took a picture of him, she said, and said that they violated the dress code. The dress code in this case would be the hair over the eyebrows in his case. Hmm. And it also would be a hair hitting the back collar of your shirt, and that's for males. So the judge did dismiss the racial argument, but did not dismiss the gender discrimination. And in his ruling, Judge Brown wrote back in August, what is the rationale for the dress code distinction between male and female students? Because the district does not provide any reason for the sex-based distinctions in the dress code, the claim survives. So that claim moves on.
So girls or female students do not have, Chris, a length cutoff there or not? Is that what they're saying?
They have a different one. Theirs is different. And so this is for the male students. And what kind of adds a wrinkle to the whole thing, and one of the things I asked Allie Booker, Daryl George's attorney, yesterday, what is today's hearing about? I asked her yesterday.
Yeah.
And she blatantly said, hell if I know. So I said to her, let me rephrase, what are you hoping to get out of tomorrow's hearing? And she said, we filed a temporary restraining order going into this school year to prevent Barbers Hill High School from suspending him again until this plays out in the courts. And she said the judge ignored that. Ooh. Also, since her case goes on, it moves on with the gender discrimination side of it. They lined up depositions. We're lining up discovery to interview authorities at Barbers Hill High School, and the judge shot that down. So her argument is, you know, why can't we depose these people if the case is moving forward? Mm-hmm. So that's what she's kind of hoping to hear today, whether the temporary restraining order will take place, and or will they be allowed to depose Barbers Hill High School. Now, Barbers Hill High School has been very vocal about this. They actually took out an op-ed in the Houston Chronicle saying we've had this policy for 80 years, and this is important in our ability to teach and learn in our schools. And that was one of the questions that the attorneys want to ask the school leaders. How does his hair have anything to do with how they learn in class? And so one of the other arguments they tried to make was it was a violation of his First Amendment rights.
Wow.
That also was shot down. The judge said that there was no precedent to demonstrate that hair length is supported by the First Amendment, which I think there could be arguments in bigger court. But
yeah, and Chris Fox is with us from CBS News in Austin. So this, just to make sure I know this, this school, this is a public high school, right? This is not a private high school.
Yes.
Am I right? Okay, so the base is okay, and Chris, I went to a private boys' Catholic school, and we had hair, and we had length, and jacket, and tie, and no sneakers, and all that.
As did I.
Yeah, well, there you go. So we know from those formative years. So they're in no way saying that, well, this is a safety thing. In other words, you know, like they would do in a machine shop or with machinery there. This is just kind of a uniformity kind of thing, like a discipline
thing? There was somewhat of a tone of kind of military correctness in their op-ed. And that did kind of come across like, this is how things are, this is what we say, and this is what you'll do. And this is how it's always been. Now, he has since transferred this year.
Okay.
To Sterling High School, but it's further away, and his siblings go to Barbers Hill High School, and Barbers Hill High School is closer to his house. And technically, as I've been told now by three or four different people, it's a far better school academically.
Oh.
And he wants to go back there. He's a sharp kid who's caught up in the middle of something that's gone on for well over a year.
Interesting stuff. Chris Fox, CBS News in Texas. Chris, thanks. Appreciate it. And we'll check down the road on this. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it there. Our guy in Texas, Chris Fox, Austin, Texas. How about that? Success Village, I guess. The gentleman in charge now, Attorney Knott, does he now, Lenny, have access to all these bank records here? What's the latest on that?
He does indeed. So last week, Judge Dale Ratcliffe ruled that it's so messy over there, Success Village, with the 2,000 residents, 990 units, no heat, no hot water, money gone, that he appointed Attorney Barry Knott to oversee it. When Barry Knott took the judge's order to the local bank, they would not make him the fiduciary on the account. Probably they got a lawyer involved. And so the judge said, wait a minute, I'm going to haul you into court. And that's what he did. And Judge Rack is a little nonsense, you know. Basically, I wasn't in the court, but I talked to people who were. And they basically said, look, you got 5 minutes to resolve this. Go make a phone call. And make a phone call now.
Yeah.
Mr. Knott is the receiver. Put his name in the accounts, and we are all done. So the lawyer for the bank made the phone call and came back and said, you know, I conveyed your order to the bank, and it is now done. So what we also learned yesterday, know what they got in the bank account? $3,500.
Which used to be what, $2 million, $1.7 million, $1.8 million, something like that?
Right. And the cash flow, you know, through the common charges, it's several million dollars a year, right?
Yeah.
And it all went. It all went. And a lot of people are going to be in trouble over this one.
Well, yeah, because aren't you one of the people, Lenny, saying, and other people are saying, hey, and the attorney's looking at this. I think you pointed out a lot of this were cash withdrawals, right? If I remember correctly.
Yeah. So a lot of it was spent on lawyers, millions of dollars spent on lawyers, consultants, management fees, right? That the board and the director Ty Bird spent.
Uh huh.
But that was more important than turning the switch on for the heat and hot water.
You know,
I mean, it was completely insane. And so the money is gone. And this thing is going to get pulled apart by a number of investigators.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be trouble for a lot of people. Meanwhile, Barry Knott's trying to get the heat out of water. He will. He's going to get there.
Yeah.
He's working overtime to make sure the heat and hot water there for the cold weather season coming up.
You know, Lenny, I wonder, and again, please, I'm not making any allegations here. I'm just a dumb talk show host. I'm not a lawyer. I know nothing about banking except, you know, I need money in the bank to pay my bills. But, you know, you wonder, Lenny, and I don't know whether you've spoken to anybody on this. It might be a good source for you to get. Could there possibly be any culpability from the bank here? Wondering if they see these with cash withdrawals going out. In fact, a couple of people at the station came up to me today and they said, hey, could the bank be in trouble for not raising a red flag on this? Maybe they can't do that. Maybe they're not allowed. I don't know. Could the bank be in trouble on this, Lenny? Do you know?
No, but it's a good point, because if there are large withdrawals, cash withdrawals coming out of there, if they reach a certain threshold, they're obligated to contact the IRS. That's a foot of the law, right? And so you just can't go walk in there and say, you know, I want to take $10,000 out in cash, right? They can take it out in cash, but it has to be reported. That amount would have to be reported to the IRS. It could lead to federal criminal violations by the IRS. Some people have been charged throughout the years.
Sure.
You know, for that. So
sure.
Depending on how much the amount is.
In about the minute we have left, your former boss's running mate did pretty good the other night, Lenny. What'd you think?
Yeah, I think it was Velvety Vance versus Wiley Walls, right? He was, he did well. You know, I mean, I think just for presentation, he's much smoother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Walls is like Lunchbox Joe, right?
Yeah.
And so that also plays to people. But Vance, he did fine. Was it going to change anything? No, I don't think so. What I'm really intrigued about, though, Uncle Paulie, is Melania Trump announcing today, for whatever reason, that she was for abortion rights.
Yeah.
Now, she is either the most cunning person on the planet that wants to stick a shiv in his spine 30 days out from the election, or he realizes that he's in such trouble with suburban women,
mm-hmm.
that he needs something to soften the blow. But I'm finding this very, very intriguing. Like, she would all of a sudden throw this out there with a video.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
So, yeah. She looked pretty good in that video, too, I got to tell you.
She's coming out of the she's in the shadows. You see she's like coming out of the shadows.
Yes,
right?
Yes, some good production values there. Yeah, Lenny Grimaldi, only in Bridgeport.com. Lenny, thanks. Take care and keep me updated on everything, all right?
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks. Lenny Grimaldi there.